Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Last night in Poland, we saw the most serious European airspace violation by Russia since the war began, and indications suggest it was intentional, not accidental. The EU stands in full solidarity with Poland. Russia's war is escalating, not ending. Now, those are the words of the EU's top diplomat, Kaja Kallas, this morning, following last night's decision by Poland to shoot down Russian drones which had invaded its airspace. Let's go straight to Poland now and to journalist Wojciech Koszyk, who's in Warsaw this morning. Thank you very much, Wojciech, for speaking to us. I know the military operation there has ended, but will you take us through what you know about what happened overnight and how the military responded?
Yes, Prime Minister Donald Tusk was in Parliament just now. He finished sort of a report to the MPs about the nighttime incidents. He said, according to latest military reports, there were as many as 19 incursions into Polish airspace, which began shortly before midnight and ended only after around 6:30 a.m. this morning. Tusk also said it was the first time that majority of these incursions were not drones that might have sidetracked from a Russian attack on Ukraine, but they went into Polish airspace directly from Belarus. And the Polish military, according to reports, shot down at least some of them that they considered a threat, and with the involvement of the Polish and Dutch Air Force. And the latest we know that services found wreckage of three drones, two near Poland borders with Ukraine and Belarus, but a third wreckage was found deeper into central Poland.
Okay, it's extraordinary. And we are seeing some pictures coming through now of the drones that have been found. These are huge, these drones, aren't they? 11 foot long, 8 foot wide, capable of carrying up to 50 kilograms of explosives. So what is Donald Tusk saying needs to happen now in terms of a reaction and a response from the EU and from NATO?
The Prime Minister said in the Parliament just this morning that Poland is going to invoke Article 4 of NATO, which is triggering consultations between allies when any of them feels threatened. And so that's the latest from the government. And Poland has long said it's the crucial frontline country for NATO, and is a major hub of military and other help to Ukraine. And Tusk will most certainly just emphasize it more, that the EU must invest more in security over the eastern flank.
Okay, and we're expecting more reaction to come through as we go through the morning. Wojciech, thank you for joining us from Warsaw. I'm also joined by Tobias Elwood, who's a former member of the UK Parliament and also a former Foreign and Defence Minister, and you're very welcome to the programme. Donald Tusk says that this is an unprecedented moment in NATO history. Do you agree with him?
Good morning. Yes, I do agree. And there's the operational response, which you've just been discussing. But as you said, this was deliberate. This was Russia testing the machine to see what the West, the Polish and American response would be. And the timing of it is very interesting indeed. If you think what's on Donald Trump's sort of in tray at the moment, he's dealing with all the Epstein fallout. You then got that other geopolitical dimension taking place with Israel striking Doha, Qatar, and then of course you've got that summit that took place with the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, where Putin was rubbing shoulders with Xi. So I think the timing of this is absolutely a concerted effort by Moscow to test the waters, to see how Putin can then push this ever further, having played America with that Alaska summit. And I think we expect to see more of this. So you're seeing the reaction, this Article 4, which is one step beneath the full Article 5, but it's all about discussions, condemnation. There's no actual kinetic response. And that is the question for the West, because we've been so timid, so risk averse in standing up to Putin from the very, very start of this war, it has to be said. So what you're seeing is another advance in Putin's own confidence in pushing the envelope ever further.
The other question that needs to be asked today is how these drones got through so easily, it would seem. I mean, how ready is NATO to deal with this? Not at all, if we take what we saw last night as evidence of NATO's preparedness to deal with an incursion by Russia.
Yes, that's such a valid question. We've seen in the advance of the Ukraine war, the character of war itself move forward and modernize because of unmanned air warfare. When you have enough drones that are charging across the skies, do you have the air defenses to be able to take them down, or will some be able to penetrate and get through? This is something that Ukraine deals with every single day. So again, Russia will be using this as a testbed to see what would happen if they needed to respond or attack in another way. I would say that I don't expect Russia to engage with a NATO country on a kinetic way in any major level. But what this is doing, as I say, is expressing a sense of overt confidence by Putin. And it goes down well in Moscow with the Russian people. He's actually standing up to the advance of NATO. And look, they can't even respond.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps as well, he's using the fact that Donald Trump has made it very clear that Europe, you're on your own here. This is your problem. And he has said that over and over again, particularly when he's trying to, and he has successfully, convinced NATO members to up their defence spending. But because of that now, has Vladimir Putin spotted a weakness? We can go in here and really we're not going to get much of a response.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And it's on both the diplomatic levels and on the financial, the defense spending side as well that you allude to. And it's wrong for America to actually make that case, because whenever in the past couple of decades America has called for help from Europe that's not spending enough money on defense, we can agree that. But Europe has always been there. Sometimes moving into operations such as Iraq and Afghanistan that we later regretted. But we never ever hesitated simply because our defense systems, or we weren't spending enough money on our defense posture. So Trump is right to say Europe needs to spend more. That's correct. But ultimately, when Europe and America are not on the same page, our adversaries take advantage of that. And we're seeing that play out front and center today.
Just going back to what you said about Poland asking NATO to invoke Article 4, and any member can call for Article 4 to be invoked, and that leads us to a discussion around what has happened. But does that in turn then lead to a discussion around invoking Article 5? Is that the next step that naturally happens, or is that a completely separate process?
Well, on paper, you're absolutely right. It certainly does raise those questions as to what would happen next, and preparedness to say, does this escalate? I think what we're going to see in real terms is simply a bolstering of resolve to defend the edge of NATO's terrain, which includes obviously the Polish border. So you're probably going to see countries commit to air defense systems. Britain actually we had some aircraft in Poland not long ago. They'll probably rotate back in to provide greater support to say we are going to stand by our NATO collective agreements. But that doesn't negate the geopolitical, the fact that Putin is finding ever cleverer ways. And here was direct military. This was overt. It's happening every day in the grey zone. We're in Britain, we're in the English Channel, we're seeing undersea cables, you know, clipped by the Shadow Fleet. There is a hybrid war taking place, which occasionally spills out onto the traditional battlefield, as we're seeing in Poland. And it begs this wider question that our global order is eroding. We seem to be powerless to do anything about it. And to compound matters, as I touched on earlier, America and Britain are not on the same page, and that's a very, very dangerous place to be.
So we're awaiting an official response from NATO. There have been a couple of lines from spokespeople, but nothing concrete in terms of an overall response to this, Tobias, this morning. Do you think that NATO will have difficulty now in responding to this with one voice?
Yeah, that's another important question, because I went back to the hesitancy of NATO at the start. I called for, before the invasion took place, that NATO send a division or two into Ukraine to bolster Ukraine's own defences. This is a sovereign state in Europe. And we blinked. The argument was made, oh, Ukraine's not a NATO country. therefore not doesn't concern us militarily. Well, Bosnia wasn't a major country, neither was Iraq or Afghanistan, but there were formal operations that took place there. So I think this was a get out. It was weakness on behalf, I'm afraid, of the most powerful military alliance the world had ever seen, because we were spooked by the rhetoric that came out of Moscow. So I think the time is now being used to work out what to say. But countries like Hungary and Turkey, that Russia, Putin has done very well to lure across and to break that unity that you'd hope to see in NATO. That's the challenge that NATO now finds itself, probably why there's been a delay in getting a formal united response, because, of course, it's an organization based on consensus. Every single member has to agree.
Tobias, thank you very much for your time this morning and for your analysis of this breaking news. Tobias Elwood there. And we'll go to Brussels next to Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, is on the line. We have had a response very quickly this morning from the EU. You might just take us through, Shona, what we've heard up to now from senior people in the EU.
Well, certainly huge condemnation from the European Union. António Costa, the president of the European Council, which is the sort of president of all the member states, just said that last night's events are a stark reminder that the security of one is the security of all. I can also say that the North Atlantic Council, which is NATO's principal political decision-making body, is now meeting in NATO to discuss what the next steps are. But just on the issue of Article 5, I think it would be impossible that NATO member states would take a decision to act in this way. And I think the key problem that NATO member states and European countries have right now is that there is no unity when it comes to NATO to taking any of these decisions. And this is a clear test from Russia. And then the other piece, of course, is that Poland is the strongest military country in the whole of the European Union. And it's being tested by Russia, which is absolutely massive. Everybody thought that if there would be some sort of incursion, it would be definitely the Baltics, Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia, because they're much smaller countries. Even though they spend about 4.5 to 5% on military defence, they're not as massive as Poland. So it is a big issue. But I think the response, I think people might be quite disappointed in, because NATO has been really worried about things like proportionality, responding to Russia, and also because the lack of unity there within the unit. But from an EU perspective, we heard from Ursula von der Leyen this morning, and she said that she's announced a €6 billion drone alliance with Ukraine. So essentially that the European Union and Ukraine will be working together on a military basis to invest in drones for the future. And that's also because of the total disjointed nature of the transatlantic alliance. So it's sort of just characterises where we are right now with Europe and America.
So this is the drone wall that she's been speaking about this morning. This would be along the eastern flank of the of its shared borders. Because again, going back to that question that I was asking Tobias Elwood about, people will be wondering how this could happen so easily, that Russia could launch these missiles and they could get through in the way that they did. Mm. So the drone wall is to address that, is it, Shona?
Well, it's not really, because it's actually air defences that are required. And that's been the plea from Ukraine since the Trump administration that came into power, that they've been asking for more Patriot systems to protect Kyiv. There was 800 drone attacks in Kyiv on Saturday night alone. So it's more defence systems that the EU needs. And that's the whole point of this SAFE programme as well, the €150 billion fund that EU countries can borrow from to jointly purchase a defence to protect European borders, particularly on the east. And it's €800 billion in total, this sort of programme, but €150 billion of a loan. So the EU is coming up with various programmes within its competence from a defensive and military point of view to defend European Union alongside what NATO countries are doing as well.
Now, Ursula von der Leyen was coincidentally giving her State of the Union address this morning, and she had strong words in relation to the conflict in Gaza. You might just take us through, Shona, what she's been saying in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, this is unprecedented because she has been heavily criticised for her lack of criticism against Israel and really lack of action in relation to Gaza. And what she said was, What's happening in Gaza is the conscience of the world, people begging for food. She talked about mothers holding lifeless babies, the catastrophic situation there. She described it as man-made famine. It was a weapon of war. She doesn't actually mention Israel in any of this, but obviously that's the interpretation. And she said that the EU will now put forward more proposals to suspend the trade part of the EU-Israel Association Agreement, as well as the other proposals around suspending Horizon. Now, she also mentioned that this is a commission proposal. So remember, the member states have to unanimously support this, and there's complete blockage there. And she said there needs to be more of a push for member states to actually agree this. So she's, as the president of the commission, now pushing the member states to do more. She said also there's going to be an EU fund for reconstruction of Gaza, which is obviously huge, given not just the destruction of Gaza, but the Israeli plans to annex, ethnically cleanse, take over the whole of the Gaza City. And one interesting thing from an Irish perspective is that she acknowledged how many member states have moved ahead on their own in relation to the plans in the West Bank to annex completely the West Bank and destroy the ability for a contiguous Palestinian state. Because remember, Belgium and Slovenia are two countries that have enacted their own occupied territories bill. They will no longer do trade with settlements in the West Bank. And in Belgium's case, they will no longer give consular service to Belgians who are living in the West Bank. So this is a really interesting thing, because it's a growing acknowledgement from an EU perspective that not doing trade with the settlements is actually perfectly reasonable, not controversial.
Okay, Seana, we'll leave it there, but thank you very much. And we'll continue our coverage of those drones which have landed in Polish territory, apparently coming from Russia. There's more reaction coming through. We'll bring it to you throughout the morning. Coming up, though, the head of addiction services at the HSE says more testing of vaping liquid needs to be done to protect children from lethal drugs. Plus, are you owed money by Dublin Airport? Because they've apologised this morning for overcharging motorists for parking. That's all on the way.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.